Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macrocap News. It's Monday, the 9th of June, 2025. I shouldn't forget the date, actually. Tomorrow is my wife's birthday, and I've just been to Asda. I've got some other things. It was my son. He said to me this morning, "Dad, have you got anything for Mummy for a birthday?" I said, "Yeah, I have. Have you?" I mean, come on. He's 12. He can go and buy some. He buys some stuff, you know, his own stuff online. But I did help him out, so I went to Asda. Anyway, by the way, I've been driving past Asda. So this police car outside the co-op, local co-op. And I thought, what the heck is that? And then a friend sent a link saying a car had ripped out an ATM from the co-op. Apparently, the police chased this car, not with the ATM dragging behind it. I assume he put it inside. But they did catch up with him, caught him. Is that kind of crime still going on, nicking cash? I thought the cash in those things were, like, dyed and destroyed once you break into it. Is that a myth to stop people, you know, doing it? Anyway, it's Macrocap News. I do apologise. I've gone off piste already. But I want to cover a little bit of macro. I don't know if I watched it this morning. NVIDIA chief Jensen Huang and Keir Starmer unveiled a major AI push at London Tech Week. And NVIDIA's launched the first UK sovereign AI industry forum in partnership with major British firms, is announced as this morning's opening session. The UK is in a Goldilocks circumstance. You can't do machine learning without a machine, and so the ability to build these AI supercomputers here in the UK will naturally attract more startups. And apparently, as far as investment is concerned, we are third in the world. Of course, first is US, then China, for investment in AI, inward investment. Way better than any European country. By the way, founding members of this AI sort of sovereign infrastructure forum include BAE Systems, BT, Babcock, National Grid and Standard Chartered. The forum pledges to strengthen the UK's domestic computing capabilities by 20 times and support the nation's booming AI startup ecosystem with a £1.5 billion investment. Is that enough, though? Don't think it is. I was watching it, and there's a lot of backslapping between Jensen Huang and Keir Starmer. And it seems they're going to get on really well. I mean, he does seem quite good at greasing the wheels. Old Starmer there, you know. And Jensen Huang was, you know, lauding Starmer and the UK. But I do think, like, essentially, he's a salesman, isn't he? You know, the best AI chips in the world, but whichever country he's in, he's going to say something amazing about the country to sell his chips. But it's nice to see this happening. You know, AI, you know, it is. I still sort of laugh. It's amazing how Mark Zuckerberg, like I said a few days ago on the podcast, thought Meta, the metaverse, was the next big thing. He's a tech geek, isn't he? And he honestly thought, you know, caught up in his own world of that like cartoon virtual reality with dreadful effects and graphics. It did look like sort of 1980s arcade games. It was dreadful, like Atari or something. And he honestly thought, you know, us all, you know, his friends sitting around in a virtual world when you can be any sort of personal animal you want. Like, I remember he did a demo of it, and he was chatting like with a monkey and an elephant, and he looked very odd as himself. I thought, that is not going to be the future. People haven't got time for that nonsense. The difference with the Meta is people like to take time out of the day to go into these stupid virtual worlds. With AI, is it to assist your day, isn't it? It's there to make things more efficient. I don't see how he got that wrong. He got it so wrong. $55 billion he invested in that. That's how anyone could tell him. You know, you ask a kid who's 8 and say, what do you think of this? Rubbish. Crap. They would have told him. And now, of course, he even changed his name to Meta, didn't he? From Facebook, the parent company. Slightly embarrassing. There's a stain on his brand, isn't it, a little bit? Because it's still called Meta. And who uses Metaverse these days? He was so convinced in 2008, 2019, 2020, it was the big thing. And now, of course, it's AI. And he apparently going to invest $65 billion into that now. But so, you know, you've got one company, Facebook, of course, a massive company, investing, or Meta, investing $65 billion in AI. And our sovereign wealth fund for AI is $1.5 billion. Doesn't really stack up, does it? But it's good to see this. And also, by the way, on Wednesday, there's a spending review. That sounds like a really small-time committee, doesn't it? You know, a committee, right? Come run this Wednesday, we've got a spending review. See what's being spent on pens and pencils and pints behind the bar. That's what Rachel Reeves is doing on Wednesday. And she said they're going to spend $86 billion on the science and technology sector by the end of this parliament. So that's good. And they're also giving now pensioners back their 75% of pensioners, where the winter fuel allowance taken off them, are going to get it. As long as you don't earn, I think, more than 35 grand a year, which is 75% of pensioners. Is that the pension, I suppose? Well, of course it is, yeah. Let's say, well, no, I suppose if you can get a side job as well, can't you? But it doesn't matter now, does it? It's like you were all intent on taking that money off the pensioners. The only reason why you didn't is you didn't do well at local by-elections recently. Your popularity ratings were down massively. And you've done a back. It's not because, oh, we're doing a lot better now. The economy is stable, as Rachel Reeves says. It's not because of that. It's because you realize it was a vote loser. That's how politicians, eh? Cynical, cold-hearted sods, aren't they? They didn't care about the pensioners at all. They thought they'd just get away with it, sweep it under the carpet. But no, it created a hell of a stink. Hell of a... What you need now is the pensioners to get behind the farmers. Oh, by the way, I've been watching Clarkson's Farm, series 4. It's very good, very good. And you realise how hard farmers got it. Even Jeremy Clarkson, who's a multi-millionaire, you know, he can open farm shops and pubs and restaurants. You know, even on the farm himself, he's struggling to break even. And like I said, there's no money really in farming unless you're a big industrial sort of farming company, sort of factory sort of level output. And all you have is the land. And then they tax that. They tax it when you die. You can't get more cold-hearted than that. You know, soon it's like literally, just before you're buried, they rifle through your pockets, pretty much. I'm so against inheritance tax. What right do you have to take someone's money off them after they work for it all their lives, and they just want to pass it on to their own family, their own blood? And yet comes in, really, not so fast. Before you pass it on to your own blood, your own family, we're just going to rifle through your pockets before you chuck you in the incinerator, whatever it is. It is dishonest, isn't it? It's literally, it's worse than the mafia. The mafia wouldn't even do that, would they? I don't know they would. Would they? Anyway, welcome, by the way. Let's look at some recap news. Not a huge amount today. Let me just check. What am I by? Okay. Just checking out my book reviews. 141 4.9 star reviews. By the way, if you buy the book, just search for, you know, in fact, go to my website. It's a lot easier. Sharepickers.com. Click on the book at the top there. You get 25% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. And my microcap league is majorly outperforming any professional fund manager in the small cap microcap space. Over 20% ahead of them since September last year. Beating all indices, and that's in UK and US. And that's because, you know, the companies I've selected, it's all based on the numbers. Remember this. Figures are fact. Story is fiction. Okay? If you're investing in a company because you like the story, it all comes down to the figures in the end. You know, you may have an amazing product, but unless you have funding, then you're not going to get there to launch it commercially. And by the way, I've been doing some more studies on companies, and by far the best performers over, you know, 3 to 5 years are microcap companies that are profitable and revenue generating. I'm not talking about pop and drop stocks that go up by 100% in a day and then come back down by 90% because they need funding. I'm talking about companies that have a sustainable rise in their share price. Why do they rise on that? Because their growth is in their profits and their revenue. The sales are increasing, validating their product or service, and they tend to be getting more efficient, which means their profits are going up. That means they are, you know, good value, pretty much, and they're going up. The valuation obviously protects the downside. Growth powers the upside. So you need both growth and value. Okay, anyway, on my website, the Microcap Database, in fact, I've got a new feature coming soon. Very excited. Go to sharepickers.com to read more about that. A new feature coming very soon, hopefully. But I'm excited about that. So on the Microcap Database, I analyse significant news from microcap companies. These are companies sub 100 million market cap with revenue, because they've got to be commercial, otherwise they become too risky. And in fact, the Microcap League is only for profitable companies, and they are scored on 15 metrics, including the growth. But yes, but I look at all companies here for the database just to see if they're good enough to get in the Microcap League. Most of them aren't. It's almost like, you know, if you avoid the rubbish on AIM, of course there's some of them that pop and drop since they'll spike and come back a little bit. But if you avoid the rubbish on AIM, you know, ones with they're not growing, they're jammed tomorrow, that have weak balance sheets, all that stuff, then what you're left with is a decent amount of companies. Then all you have to do then is look for the best of those, the remaining ones. You know, the best of them. Anyway, let's start off with Cordell Group, which I do like. But the news today wasn't good. So CRDL is ticker. They offer a patented cloud-based platform for master data management and business analytics, together with specialist hardware and software for capturing and analysing and reporting on large-scale data sets within the transport sector, employing sophisticated artificial intelligence. It's everywhere, isn't it, AI? It is huge. It's going to be massive. Jensen Huang reckons... Head of NVIDIA, by the way, is the biggest company in the world now. I think, yeah, it is actually. He said, we'll all have our own AI assistants soon. I sort of believe that. I like this sort of, you just get up and tell them what to do in a day. I mean, on the computer if you need to do things, and they do it. I've got to say, though, I've been messing around with AI quite a bit recently. There's certain things they won't do. It's funny, I've used Gemini, I've used Grok, I've used ChatGPT, and I was, it's my father-in-law's birthday. Oh, no, it's Father's Day, isn't it? Sorry. And so he's a big Spurs fan. And so we want to generate an image with him, with Ange Postecoglou, who is the manager now, who's gone on the weekend from Spurs. And then we want to cartoonize it. Gemini, Google's, wouldn't do it due to copyright issues. We don't know whose image you're using, which is, I suppose, quite good, because you could Photoshop anything and implicate people in certain ways. But we want a caricature. So it's my father-in-law. I was arguing with it. So it's my father-in-law. So we understand that. Grok actually put Anders Postecoglou together with, so I uploaded the photographs, put Anders Postecoglou together with a guy that didn't look very like my father-in-law at all. I thought, who is that guy? I said, can you do it again? That's not the picture I use. So maybe they're not allowed to use that. So the only one who did it was ChatGPT, but they limit the amount of times you could do it. But they did it and cartoonized it quite nicely. Cordell. Back to Cordell. So they've got a 17 million market cap. In fact, it might be a bit smaller than that right now. Let's look where they are, because it is one of the biggest fallers today. It's not as far as I thought. Hang on, where's it gone? It wasn't one of the biggest fallers. But let's go to there. It's down 26%. So, yeah, 6 pence a share. So 8 pence a share was 17 million. So a quarter off that, what's that? 12 million now? And the results were quite good for last year, and they had good growth pending for this year. But they've announced today delays in some of the customer contracts. So they've missed the guidance for 2025, and they're expecting to generate 6.2 million, but they say having reviewed the timing of likely near-term contract wins, the board currently expects to report revenue for the financial year 25 in the range of 4.7 to 5 million. As this is a currently loss-making company, the most important thing to look at, of course, is cash. When you're investing in loss-making companies, you know, you should be thinking, okay, how much cash do they have? How long will it last? And ideally, you know, you want cash to get enough cash to become profitable. If it's like a really pre-revenue company, and loss-making, then you want 2 years pretty much, because, you know, that'll get you out of the crap, hopefully. But I mean, anyway, they say our closing cash position is expected to be improved compared to the previous year. That's 30th of Jan 2024, at 1.02, subject to normal cash collection performance in June 2025. So that's encouraging. They're saying they didn't give a figure, but they're saying it'll be better, improved upon the 1.02. Now, they're not forecast to make a big loss for next year. It's like half a million. Like I said, the revenue's gone down from 6.2 to 4.2 now. So, and then in 2026, they are expected to be break-even. So, of course, assuming there's no more delays. Now, I've said this before, I do like the technology. You know, almost is validated by the companies that they're signing with, big companies in America. And like I said, the broker says the most advanced supplier of AI-driven railway infrastructure insights in the world. And I always like that when companies have a claim to fame in some way. So it could be taken out by another company or, well, it's potentially best in class. But this is a delay. But do you know what? I think as long as you keep an eye now, it may bump around here for a while. But keep an eye on trading updates as long as they sort of, you know, update. And when they say they're going to update, the next update is on the... they're going to do an update soon. But I do like technology for this company. Of course, when you're a small company and you have a few contracts there, you are beholden to the bigger companies you are. But it's a pity that's happened. But it's a watcher. Put in your watch list. And like I said, it is on the potential watch list database here. Next, James Cropper is a market leader in advanced materials and paper products. Every company on AIM, pretty much, if you believe them, they're a market leader in some way, you know? Anyway, James Cropper, they are, at 285 a share, they are 27 million market cap, 42 million enterprise value. That's the figures taken from the full set of results. In fact, the net debt did improve a little bit. So for the half year, they did 49 million in revenue, down 12%, with a loss before tax of 600K. That's down 125%, well, down from 2.4 million profit. And in fact, as of the half year results, 28th and 9th, 2024, they went to 13 million net debt rather than 8.6 million cash. Anyway, so they came out with today a bit of news about they've rearranged or, where is it? Revised terms agreed with the UK banking facility. Like I said, they do have debt. And they were going to pay the loan back, 15 million, in 20 equal installments of 750k each. But now they've revised that. So it's 400k per quarter for the six quarters from June 25, September. Then they've got 750k to September 27. And then up to 960k per quarter for the remaining year. So they've managed to stage that. So my comments here basically, they've forecast return to a modest net profit, 1.1 million for 2025, but on a declining revenue, it's going down 3%. So they are, you know, finding some efficiencies there. At 2.85 pence per share, there's a PE of 25, not cheap for a company underperforming. At the H1 results, they reported net debt of 13 million versus net cash of 8.6 the previous year. Therefore, the revised terms agreed will reduce their earlier payments, will enhance the company's liquidity headroom, support implementation of the company's strategic plans. They've got a plan going on. They've got a plan, man. James Cropper has a plan. Well, it's got the plan should be this: reduce debt and increase profitability in some way. Yeah. So the broker's placing, they've got forecasts for 26 and 27 under review due to this plan. They've got low growth, low margins. With the share price now, it was £3.04 this morning. This is a bit nuts, this. Oh, hang on. GCPR. Oh, James Cropper. I've hit the wrong button there. James. That's not an easy ticker to remember, is it? James Cropper, for heaven's sake. Cropper James, it is. They're £2.86, yeah. So like I said, they were at 3.4 this morning. CPR has low growth, low margins. With a share price of 3.4, it has rallied by 141% since their 7th of May trading update low. I believe this was a relief rally, where it sold off due to the worries about the business and the balance sheet. In fact, on the 7th of 5th, I covered this, and I did state then it could be a recovery play, but there are better quality players with stronger balance sheets and better margins out there. Now it's rallied from that low of, what was it, £1.28, pretty much, up to £2.86. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I said it's rallied enough. I'm not saying it won't go higher, because, of course, people jump on stocks due to momentum, but based on fundamentals, it shouldn't go much higher than this. So sooner or later, it may roll over. And when you tend to get a very aggressive bounce of this, the pullback can be very aggressive as well. So I'm not saying it won't go, you know, to the low it was, but I'd just be careful. It's rallied very strongly on a relief rally that was worrying about the company's almost ongoing viability, pretty much. So be careful, and it's not worth that rally. The rally, it's gone too far. It's gone from oversold to overbought, pretty much. Okay, anything else? I think there's a couple of others. It's not much today, but there's a few things here. Digital Box, D-Box, PLC, completion of the Life Network. Digital Box, what do? They're a pure play digital media business with aim of profitable publishing scale on mobile platforms. They're digital and mobile, that's all. And they own Entertainment Daily, The Daily Mash, The Tab, The Poke, and TV Guide. So the share price is about 5 pence, pretty much. They've got market cap of 5.3 million, enterprise value 3.2, so plenty of cash there. A little bit of debt, 94K, but 2.1 million of cash for the last sort of final results, which was the 31st of the 12th. This company, it was from the media chain. Now, I don't understand. This was like social media chain. That was wasn't that Stephen Bartlett's ex-company, which he said he sold for 200 million? But they didn't. They bought it. I don't understand. Maybe it's a spin out. But they've paid 200K for it, comprising a £20,000 license fee paid in March and a further 180K in cash on completion. Under the final agreement, the ownership of Life Network's Facebook and Instagram pages have transferred to Digibox. As a result, Digibox now, or Digitalbox, not Digibox. Digibox is that dodgy thing, isn't it? You can buy and get all free channels on it, I think. As a result, Digibox now has over 26 million followers within its own social media channels. Have they acquired the progress development role insider? Okay. Just my comments here. Their full year results, 2024, were respectable, I think, given the sector they operate in. Revenue grew by 31%. Their loss before tax came down from about 6 million to 25K. That 6 million was an impairment, and it's not a cash loss. Their cash also improved by 21% to 2 million. Plus, free cash flow also turned positive into 349K versus 833K loss outflow. And now for 2025, revenue is expected to grow by 10%, but the loss before tax is expected to increase to 300K. They got 2 million of cash as of the end of December. This lot's loss should not be an issue. So 300K is easy for them to cover, of course, and it should see them through to profitability forecast in 2026. They expect to make a net profit of 200K, so not meaningful. And at 4.5 pence per share, it would put them on a PE of 25. Now, 2027 is very odd. It's a long way off. The brokers see significant uplift in both revenue and profit. And I would be sceptical of this. And I've used, for the first time ever, adjusted figures here because the actual figures are nuts. So they're saying they'll do 1.5 million in net profit, which puts them on a PE of 3.5 at the current share price, of course. But that's adjusted. They have, like, reported have been double that. I don't understand what they mean by that. Are they selling the business? How would you get that uplift in profits? Because the revenue is on 25. 2025 will be 4 million. 2026, 5 million. 2027, 7 million. But the margin goes from 4% to 21%. I think, what? I don't understand. I did try to read the book and I couldn't make it out. So I would be very sceptical of 2027 figures. At the moment, the numbers are too small to be compelling. But like I said, fair play to management. They've navigated very stormy waters of late. If they do hit those 2027 figures, you know, it would transform the company into an interesting company, I think. So I don't know. I'm a bit sceptical of those numbers because the that kind of growth is ridiculous. It's literally, let's have a look. They're looking at a 650% increase in net profit, and that's just on adjusted figures. The reported would be a couple of thousand percent. So I don't understand. I was thinking, have they made a mistake on this broker note or not? And of course, though, the further you go out with forecasts, you know, the less accurate they become. It's the same as weather forecasts, you know. If you get a weather forecast for tomorrow, you can be pretty sure it's accurate, 90% accurate. And then each day you go out, you can drop by 10% pretty much, or 5%, whatever. But you know what I'm saying. Next, Petards. Petard. I don't know why I think that's an awful name, is it? PEG is focused on development, supply, and maintenance. It just sounds Petard. I work for Petards. Are you a petard? Peg is a ticker. Anyway, 4.8 million market cap, 4.3 million enterprise value. So they've got 700K of debt, 1.2 of cash. What did they announce there? A contract win, okay? A contract win of 300K. What do they do, by the way? Focus on development, supply, and maintenance of technologies used in advanced security, surveillance, and ruggedized electronic applications. It operates across three sectors, rail, traffic, and defence. Well, you think defence, maybe they get uplift. But the contract they announced today, or the contract, 300K. Yeah. That sort of summarises this company succinctly. It's a company of small numbers, and most of these are negative. And what compounds this is that the recent trading update they released on the 30th of January, they announced these figures are going in the wrong direction with below expectation guidance. For 2024, revenues expected, they haven't reported it yet, the figures for 24, revenues expected to grow by 28%, but the net loss is expected to increase 43% to 1.5 million. In H1, they also went to a net debt position, which may seem small, at 930k net debt. But when you consider their market cap is 4.8 million, this is a fifth of their valuation. Probably not an issue for a company making a profit, but this is a loss-making nanocap. Avoid. And finally, it's an excellent company. Synectics, a leader in advanced security and surveillance systems that help protect people, property, communities, and assets around the world. So market cap, 54 million, enterprise value, 44. So they've got but 10 million of cash. And if you look at their, look on the market cap league there, green colours across the screen, growth, everything. The cash last year, well, everything went up. For the results, the 30th of November, revenue went up 14%, double digit. Profit for tax growth went up 57%. Cash went up by 108% to 9.6 million from 4.6. And free cash flow went up by 302% from 1.64 million to 6.59 million. That is the perfect model balance sheet, or you know, fundamentals you're looking for. Growth, double digits, a minimum. There's two double digits there, two triple digits. It's all growing. Cash is coming in, revenue's going up. But they announced a trading update. And they say positive trading in H1 combined with a solid order book and ongoing new business provides confidence for full year 25. They say comfortably in line with market expectations. Wow, there's a lot of news there. So now, market expectations, by the way, would see them generating revenue of 65 million at 16% growth and net profit of 4.2 million, 32% growth, which at £3.23 a share puts them on a forward PE of 12.8. Very reasonable for this type of growth. Very reasonable. I would suggest them stating they are comfortably in line means their figures may be just above guidance. But as their year end is the 30th of November, and let's be honest, a lot can happen in 5 months, then they may be, maybe they're being a bit conservative. Let's be honest, the phrase comfortably in line is a lot more positive than just in line, isn't it? But not quite as good as ahead. I think if they land a new contract that will be recognised revenue-wise in this year, I think there'll be I think comfortably in line will go to ahead of expectations. In the last, they're significantly ahead on the 9th of 12th last year and the 16th of 9th last year. So they are doing very well. And like I say, you know, profit upgrades, similarly with profit warnings, they don't exist on their own. Once a company starts doing very well, they're getting something right, their products, their services, their management right, everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if they land a new contract. And like I say, that is reasonable value, 12.8 for double and almost triple digit growth. It's one of those rare companies that has, you know, growth, value, and they pay income, a little bit of income. It's not a lot of dividend, it's like 1.4, but it's a little bit of income, isn't it? Anyway, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. If you listen this far, I do appreciate it. If you can give me a review on, what's it called? Apple. So you just scroll down, ratings, reviews, and add a review. And if you give me, you know, top star rating, 5-star review, I'd be much appreciated. I'll give you a shout out. In fact, you know what? If you're not a member of the club and you give me a 5-star rating review, I will give you 25% off the Shippickers Investment Club if you want to join, right? Just email me, justin@sharepickers.com, and let me know, you know, what your review is. It's going to be 5-star, though. Well, nice little review, yeah? If you do that, only do it if you enjoy the podcast, if it's worth some value. I'm not trying to con you anyway. You know, if you don't enjoy it, just don't leave a review. It's fine. Or Yeah, anyway, I'll leave that for a moment. But thank you very much for listening. It's much appreciated. And speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.